Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Kids Deserve It. I am thrilled to have all of you joining today. My name is Todd Nesloney. I'm an elementary school principal in Navasota, Texas, as well as a half of the writing duo of Kids Deserve It. So we wanted to do something a little bit different for this special edition. We wanted to give you a deeper glimpse into one of the co-authors of the book and co-host of the show, Adam Welcome. So that's kind of how this whole special edition kind of came up. We also want to remind you before we get started that we have our t-shirts up for sale right now until Sunday. And you can find all of the info as our pinned tweet on our Twitter account. We just funded 11 Donors Choose projects with our last month's donations. So we hope you go on to our booster.com/kids-deserve-it website and purchase a shirt or share with your friends as we raise money to fund more teachers' accounts. Like we said, my name's Todd Nesloney, but our special edition guest today is Adam Welcome. So Adam, I've got a few questions for you just to kind of dive a little bit more into you and who you are. So let's start kind of just giving me a little bit more background on what all of your experiences are in education. What all have you done?
So I like to go back to when I was a kid because my dad taught second and third grade for 38 years in the inner city in Richmond, California. So I just grew up in a classroom, and that was my path to education. Started as a fourth grade teacher and taught third, fourth, and fifth grade for about 7 years. And then was an elementary school principal at a really large elementary school. We had 1,200 students. It was myself and the principal, and that was it. And I spent 2 years there, learned a lot. My principal is still one of my good friends. We talk on a weekly basis. And then I had the opportunity to go be a principal, actually, where I went to school, which was pretty cool. But when I was a kid, the principal used to smoke a pipe, like a cigar pipe in the office. So things have changed definitely in that time. And now I'm currently a director of innovation and technology, which really just translates to, I call myself like the director of cool stuff. I get to just talk about classroom design and code drones with people. I talk to parent groups. We have 50 schools in my district, 30,000 plus kids. So there's just a lot of diversity in the work. And I just love it because it's not just the tech, it's the innovative thought process too. So that's my education. And I was also an adjunct professor at a community college for a couple of years. But then I had my first child and became a principal, and I just couldn't carry all that workload. So that's where we are.
A lot of your background and where people know you from is kind of as a campus principal. So what would you say was probably your favorite part of being a campus principal?
The favorite part was just getting to know all the students and the teachers. When I became a principal, I wanted to become the unprincipal. That was my goal. When I was a teacher, I had a principal who was a great guy, just a different leadership style. So my goal was to just know every student's name within 3 months of being at the school. And I did it in 4 months, 565 kids. I was in every classroom every day for the first 100 days, every school year, and just being out and about. I spent just like probably under an hour every day in my office from bell to bell. I just ran my school from my phone. And just that visibility piece to me is so, so important for not just site leaders, but also district leaders. And now that I'm a district leader, it's definitely, I wrote a blog post in Ed Week a couple months ago about that. District leaders, get out of your office, because you can't know where you need to go unless you know where you are, and you can't get that information unless you're visible. And as we know, the first blog post, Todd, that you and I ever wrote together was about relationships and how relationships matter most. And that's how you build relationships, just being out, being visible, talking to people. It's how you deal with all that discipline. So you don't have a line at your office. You just take care of those little things as they happen in the hallway and on the yard and in the lunchroom. And then also the parents. The parents are such a huge piece of that. You know, when they see you, they know that you're out and about. Like, they can see your footprint. I used to get text messages from my teachers saying, "Hey, are you in a meeting? I haven't seen any tweets in a couple hours." Because, you know, you'd be in a classroom and you share what kids are doing, and then teachers would learn from each other. And it really propelled our school to just new heights. You know, I was at one school for 3 years as principal, and just what we did, I think we probably packed in like 6 years into 3 years. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was, that's kind of how we rolled at my school.
So what do you kind of see as one of the biggest things that you've learned since becoming a director of innovation?
The biggest thing is teachers are so important. but I think the principal is just the most important person on campus. And I don't say that to offend any teachers because I'm still a teacher myself, but the principal sets the tone. And the principal, you said it before, when the principal sneezes, the whole school gets a cold. And if the principal has that energy and that mojo and has that vision and leads from the front and, but also knows when to go to the back too, because that's so important. It's like the bus analogy. The principal starts in the front and they work their way to the back. And when I was a leader, I was in the back a lot. And then sometimes you got to run to the front and kind of adjust course a little bit and hang out in the middle. So just that principal leadership is so important. I know our state organization in California is very strong. I know, Todd, you work with the Texas organizations and throughout the country as well too. And just building that leadership capacity, because schools have changed so much in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Good leaders are just so important. So now that I'm at the district, just making sure that responsiveness, I'll be like driving to one school. And my district covers a lot of miles, and we have 50 schools. And I'll get an email from a principal. I'll take a left turn and go to their school and talk to them face to face. And they're like, "You're here. I just emailed you." I said, "I know. That's why I'm here." Because when you're at a school and something's going down or you got a question, you want that response. So just really that kind of like, if you will, because I have a job at the district office, and district offices exist to support the schools. You know, if I do think that school districts are a business, and we make our money in the classroom with kids. So we have to serve that clientele. And that's how we do it as a team effort.
So talk to me about school growing up for you.
So I went to like 4 different schools kind of by happenstance. So I actually went to the school where I was a principal for preschool. And then I went to a different school for kindergarten, first, second, third. And then there was a fire. Somebody set a fire in the principal's office of my elementary school, and like a bunch of the school burned down. So they moved us to another school for fourth and fifth grade. That was pretty typical. The crazy thing was that my dad was a teacher, not in my district, but my dad was also a school board member in my district. So people were always like, "Oh, it's a school board member's kid." But I had a great experience up until high school. And then high school really took a fall for me. I was a very disengaged student. I was an athlete. I played 3 sports, football, baseball, and basketball all year round. But I almost didn't graduate high school. I didn't know I was graduating until the Wednesday of graduation. Wow. I was smart enough, but I just didn't put any effort. And a lot of that is my own fault. But I also just look at how school was, sit and get. Everything looked the same. There was just a lot of disengagement for me. So my work as an educator, as a teacher and a principal and now a director, but also with Kids Deserve It in the organization that we have, is to make school awesome for kids, because I my experience was beneficial because I am where I am because of it. But I think that it could have been a lot more. That's kind of what I strive. So
now, speaking of Kids Deserve It, what would you say was probably your favorite part of writing the book?
It feels like years ago, Todd, that we wrote that book, but no, it was like a year ago. For me, it feels like a lifetime. The best part really was writing with you, man. Like, I remember that, like, I used to blog all the time, and you'd text me and like, "Another blog post? We have a book to write." And then I put a message on my blog: "This blog is on hiatus until Kids Deserve It is published." And I texted it to you, and I would get up at 4 in the morning, which is, 6 o'clock your time. And I'm an early morning writer.
I was going to say, you get up at 4 in the morning still now.
I do. No, but I would write, and then you would write in the Google Doc, and then we'd have, and we would talk on Voxer all the time, which was hard, but then we'd have that real time conversation on a weekly basis. And then when it's like anything, you want to become a better skier, ski with someone that's better than you. You know, like I think you're such a better writer than I am, Todd, and you made my writing better, but then you would make our writing better, and we would just build upon it. And the book just got better and better as we worked together. I'm a little bit nervous because, I'm writing a new book right now to be on my own, because they don't have that partner. And I know that I can always call you and send it to you and say, "Hey, like, what do you think?" Right. Like,
well, tell our viewers a little bit about the book. What's the whole idea behind it?
Before I answer that question, the best part was writing with a partner. And you have to do things in teams. And I tell kids this all the time: you're better when you're connected with somebody else. Not that writing a book by yourself isn't a great experience, but I just felt that I felt that my game got elevated writing with you, and I felt the book got elevated writing together. So that was my favorite part about that experience. My new book is it's called Run Like a Pirate. It stemmed from I run, and things in my life I tend to do in extremes. I ran a marathon in December. It was my 7th marathon, and I finished it, and I knew there was more. So I decided to do 12 marathons this year, and I'm doing one marathon a month. And decided to approach Dave Burgess, our publisher, again, and see about writing a book, and talked it through. And there's a lot of similarities. If you haven't run a marathon is like a school year. There's ups and downs, highs and lows. You need the people around you in the race to get you through. There's preparation. There's reflection afterwards. So I'm running 12 marathons. I'm writing a book about it. And some kind of like cherry on the sundae is my marathon this December is my 19th marathon of my life, which just doesn't sit well with me. I really wanted to get 20 before the year was out. So my December marathon, I'm going to run the course in reverse. It ends at the state capitol in California. So at 1 a.m. on the morning of my marathon, I'm going to leave the capitol and run the course in reverse, and then run the marathon with everybody else. Something that I have not put out yet. In addition, I was thinking about this the other day. My running for me is kind of like my meditation. It's my time when I can think. All these marathons are for me this year, and I really want to do something for other people. So the plan right now is to actually run 100 miles on New Year's Eve. There's a race in San Francisco, actually, where we've been together, Chrissy Field, right by the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a 24-hour race. It starts at 9 a.m. on New Year's Eve and finishes 9 a.m. New Year's Day. And my goal is to do that race and run 100 miles. And also to raise money. So people that are listening to this are going to know about that. Everybody else, I'm not putting that out until December. But my goal is to raise, I don't know if I want to raise $10,000 or $100,000. I think $10,000 is a goal. I'm going to do a GoFundMe and then donate all that money back to education. So I'm going to run for me most of the year. And then that last one, I'm going to run for everybody else. So.
Nice. Well, you heard it here first, exclusive from Adam. Welcome. So Adam, as you know, every episode that we end, we always ask our guests to leave a challenge for the viewers for the week. So what would you say is your challenge for this week?
So I have a little story in the book about this. And you know, some people call it balance. The more I think about it, I think it's just, and I know this is hard for you, Todd. It's hard for me, but my challenge is to this summer is to completely unplug and just start with a day. Turn your devices off 100%. Don't even go airplane mode, because I do that sometimes and there's the temptation just to click off airplane and see if anything came through. I'm going to be on vacation this summer for 2 weeks up in Lake Tahoe, and I'm going to turn everything off for an entire week. I'm going to go dark for an entire week and just to be present. And I'm going to blog about it afterwards, because I want to see where my brain goes when I have zero distractions and I'm 100% present with my kids. Because inevitably, I tell myself tonight I'm going to get home and I'm putting my phone in the drawer. Inevitably, I look at it. I mean, there's dopamine reactions when you look at your phone and you look at technology. So that is my goal. Turn everything off for at least one day this summer, just so you can be completely present and just see what happens. And then if you like the way it feels, you know, do it for a few hours at a time, because it's really important. I've read a lot of research about it actually lately, listened to a lot of podcasts. So that is my challenge for the week.
Well, we hope everybody enjoyed this special edition of Kids Deserve It, getting to know one half of the duo, Adam. Welcome. We hope you tweet us using the hashtag Kids Deserve It, as well as checking out the other episodes that we have on the YouTube channel or on iTunes. Remember, you can pick up a t-shirt until Sunday for this month. We hope you check out our Twitter chat every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. And we hope you check out our next guest, who is going to be Sarah Ahmed. Everybody have a great week.